Investigations continue today in Baltimore on the collapse of the Key Bridge. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is there.
The Navy is sending barges with heavy lift cranes. The Army Corps of Engineers has resources on the way. So does the Coast Guard. It is a clear mission to get that waterway clear, the debris out.
There's no telling, though, how long it could take to reopen the port. Former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried has been sentenced to 25 years in prison for fraud. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
He was convicted for stealing billions of dollars worth of customer money to make risky and potentially fraudulent investments.
Donald Trump's lawyers are trying to get his election interference case scrapped in Georgia. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
They say that this indictment should be dismissed based on the fact that they claim every single act that Trump was charged with in this case implicates speech that's protected by the First Amendment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tuition at University of Wisconsin schools would go up by 3.75% next school year if the Board of Regents approves a proposal next week. UW System President Jay Rothman says that's about the same as the rate of inflation. Even with an increase, Rothman says UW tuition would still be the most affordable in the Midwest. U.S. House Republicans want to raise the Social Security retirement age. They say it's to account for higher life expectancies, but Nancy Altman of the group Social Security Works says it actually ends up being a benefits cut.
Even if you work till age 70, your benefit's going to be about 7% lower than it is under current law.
Altman says the better way to save Social Security would be to raise payroll taxes on the highest earners. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a new law requiring retailers in Wisconsin to obtain a state license to sell vape products. Before the passage of Wisconsin 73, retailers could sell electronic vaping devices without a license. Brian Drexler, community health educator of Portage County Health and Human Services, said the new law is a step in the right direction, but more oversight is needed, especially to help protect young people from nicotine addiction. Portage County operates the local Wisconsin Winds Tobacco and Vape Retailer Inspection, Education, and Outreach Program. The program provides free retailer resources to help prevent underage tobacco and vape sales. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue recently issued a new retail license form, updated to include all tobacco and vape products. The form is for use by all villages, towns, and cities in Wisconsin. There's no garbage or recycling pickup in Stevens Point on Friday. Friday's routes will be picked up on Monday, April 1st. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Civic Media Ride into Spring Text to Win contest on WFHR. Each weekday, there's four chances to win an overnight getaway at Chula Vista and a chance for our grand prizes of brand new bicycles, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. This hour's keyword is SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, SCORE. Now go to the Civic Media app, pick your favorite station, and text the keyword to enter. Keep listening for more chances to play Ride into Spring on the Civic Media Network.
Bucks lose Pat Beverly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It happened Sunday night. Bucks guard Pat Beverly says his right wrist kept bothering him during warm-ups. He still played in the game against the Thunder, then had x-rays the next day.
Talked to the doctor and informed me that I tore a ligament in my right wrist and I'm going to need it surgically repaired, which takes 3 to 4 months.
Beverly likely done for the season. The Bucks face the Pelicans tonight in New Orleans. College basketball tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers women's team faces the Illinois State Redbirds in the NIT. Baseball, the Brewers and Mets game canceled due to poor weather in New York. The two teams will try again tomorrow. Bob Uecker says he'll be back in the broadcast booth for opening day next week at American Family Field. Then it's day-to-day after that. Uecker is 90 years old and has been calling Brewers games since 1971.
Just a bit outside.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. The rest of today, mostly sunny, temperatures in the mid-30s, a little breezy out of the west. Tonight, mostly clear, 19, mostly sunny, and a bit warmer on Friday with a high near 50. Some rain or maybe freezing rain Friday night as we drop to 30 degrees. Snow showers Saturday, 45.
It's 39 at our studios.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Thursday on Nightlight, I'm joined by Matinaire on Air's Greg Bach and sports guy Mike Clemens. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this March 28th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to talk to our friend Anna James Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison. Right now, we have in studio one of our favorite people, Stephen Hittner from Family Natural Foods. Stephen, it's just us today.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. It's weird. Yep. We don't get to do this very often.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, it's like I'm talking to my brother here.
Right back at you, Matt.
I've got
right
two sisters. She's one of them's usually on the radio with me, but right up. Today I just have my adopted brother.
Yes, and we love to hang out together. Being able to do this show together is a lot of fun, and we can be guys. Oh, all right, so I can let my gut out a little bit. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I brought a topic on testosterone. If we get to that,
excellent, perfect. I know that we wanted to start talking a little bit about events you have going on over there.
Yeah, let's start with that. We're really excited. We've got a kind of a lineup for our final series of speakers this spring. So the next one coming up is going to be on April 11th, and it's at 1 p.m. So it's in the afternoon this time. And it's going to be Katrina and I talking about our experiences traveling in India, seeing where a lot of these medicinal herbs that we sell every day grow and how they grow, how they're manufactured, what makes them special. Really, really a phenomenal experience that Katrina and I had to do. We were traveling with Terry Lemeron from Terry Naturally. Anyone who listens to the Saturday morning program knows his work well. Him and I, you know, we both have a similarly enthusiastic radio voice, but but we both ideally have a lot of good content. So
absolutely,
Terry is. If you haven't heard his Saturday program about natural health and stuff, check that one out. But we're going to talk a lot about just like it's kind of like a travel log, and what I'd encourage people with this event in particular is we're gonna do a lot of door prizes. So if you come, you're probably going to go home with something in your hand. And some of the door prizes we have are in like the $30 range. So not small things.
With this, I'm so glad you guys are doing this again. For one, there's a lot of us that weren't able to go to the first time that you did this. And I imagine, like a lot of things, we do any show, and sure enough, minutes later or days later, we're thinking about, oh, I should have mentioned this. Yeah. Oh, I should have talked about this. So that's a good reason right there, too.
Yeah, there's some extra content we wanted to throw in there. And also, we wanted to see if some people wanted to come at 1 o'clock, middle of the day, it's a little more casual. And we always find it kind of fun to do talks at different times. Different people come. So, again, that's April 11th at 1 p.m.
Stephen, one thing that stood out to me about this this trip that you both made, when talking to you both about it, I don't know if this is the right way to put it, but it felt like when I hear from people that talk about making a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
You guys grew up in this industry, where a lot of us now are starting to look at labels and understand what these ingredients are, how to say them, what they are, and that you guys have grown up with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit, when you talk about it, like a bit of a pilgrimage going there and kind of seeing the source for some of these supplements and some of these things.
Yeah, I think that's really the case, and to like know them on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a really great talk.
Yeah,
And then I'd also encourage people to put it on their calendar. There's another talk we have coming up on May 7th, and that's going to be at 5:15 p.m. And that's with True Grace. Mm-hmm. So True Grace is a new company. They're Wisconsin-based. It's a woman-owned company. And it's really based on foundational family nutrition. So a lot of the things that you kind of overlook or don't seem too exciting, you know, we've got, you know, multivitamins and fish oils.
Yeah.
Those are some of the first products they brought out. And what's exciting about them is the way they innovated it and what they did to make them special. And that's what they're hopefully going to come in and talk on. It's actually not going to be, so it's started by this husband and wife, mm-hmm. and actually it was the wife's idea. It's her business, but the husband's been in the health food industry a long time as well, and he's the one who's coming in. So I guess she's like, hey, honey, I'm too busy with work. You know what to talk about.
Yeah.
Come and do the talk for me.
Yeah.
But we're really excited to have, you know, basically the family coming to talk about their fresh, you know, new innovative business that they have in Wisconsin.
They've joined us before on the air. Yeah. We've really enjoyed those conversations. I know our listeners have too. And any chance to not only hear from a young business, an independent, you know, really starting business, but a local business as well.
Yeah. The other thing I'm sure they'll talk about is mushrooms. Mm. And they, you know, there's a lot of interest in mushrooms, the health benefits of mushrooms. If we get time, I'll end up talking about mushrooms later in this series today, related to allergies. But they have a category of mushrooms that are very high quality, and we tested them independently. We've done these kind of tests on the radio, actually, and I think they were put on Facebook, perhaps too, because we did a video of us doing this on the radio. It was really fun. And a lot of these mushrooms don't really pass the test. Mm-hmm. You're basically buying a bunch of starch, a bunch of, you know, grains, maybe oats, maybe rice, you know, things that cost nothing. And mushroom supplements are rather expensive typically. So you want to make sure you're getting something. Mm-hmm. And theirs passed our test with flying colors. And they, you know, have high integrity. So again, you know, if you want to know about like cutting edge nutrition, mushroom supplements, how to optimize just your overall body health, come to this talk with True Grace. It's going to be on May 7th at 5:15.
It's going to be a really good conversation. Looking forward to that.
And then the last one, I'm not actually going to say who it is, but he's a big deal. And we've had him speak before. He's coming out of Wisconsin as well. But I'm going to wait till Katrina's here.
Okay.
But if you want to put something on your calendar.
Oh, I like this.
You know, just like save the date for you don't even know what you're saving it for. May 29th, the end of May, 5:15 p.m. I believe that's a Wednesday. We'll be talking more about this. Probably if you stop in, you might get some information. But next time we're on the air with Katrina, we'll get into this more. But if you want to save all the dates, I'll give them to you one more time. So we've got April 11th, 1 p.m., May 7th, 5:15 p.m., and then the surprise one, May 29th, 5:15.
Some great events, and we'll be talking about these as we get closer to them, and looking forward to every one of these. They're all looking good.
Cool.
Stephen, Easter is right around the corner, coming up this weekend. I have to remind myself of that. It really snuck up on me. And I'm not the only one, I think. Others might have snuck up on, too.
Yeah, so we're preparing things for Easter, and we're also trying to get some stuff ready for Passover. Mm-hmm. Got a little more time on that one.
Yes.
Thanks to the lunar calendar. But Easter is this weekend, and if you're like me, you're usually like, oh, yeah, Easter's coming up. What am I got to get together here? So we've got a lot of great like Easter candies. We have these wonderful handmade alafia baskets, like Easter baskets.
Yeah.
So if you want like probably like an heirloom basket, like it's going to last generations. Joel Keenhold from Lonely Oak Farms, he uses these baskets to harvest vegetables into. And they're made in Africa by this women's cooperative, and the money is given back to them. Really nice fair trade kind of situation. But, you know, these baskets are made to be used and to be passed on to the next generation. So if you want a literal Easter basket that you could use every day and you could pass on to your grandkids, these are the ones to check out.
Such a great idea, man. Yeah. This is one of the better things I think we've talked about, honestly.
Yeah, it's sustainable. It's, you know, it's giving back to communities that need it.
Yes.
And it's supporting an art that, you know, they do in Africa, and it's just, you know, beautiful.
Yeah, and some of the essence of Easter is this. Giving
That's
back
really
and everything.
Point.
So being able to do that, your kid's not only getting a great Easter basket, which you can reuse and everything, which is so much better than the plastic ones we just throw in a box and you know, bring about.
Once
a year we bring them out and all that. This is a multiple use, and the being able to, hey, kids, all those, that candy, everything you got in that basket, that, and then telling them where that basket came from. That's a really cool idea.
You could tell them all the Easter Bunny shops at Family Natural Foods.
Yes.
So you got some candy without, loaded with sugar, without those weird food colorings that, you know, we don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You could get some really healthy, you know, alternative candies that taste really good and fill up the basket and tell the kids Easter Bunny shopped at Family Natural Foods.
It's a very cool idea. And I really love the idea with the baskets. That's so smart. We also know that that this is a time of year a lot of people are getting ready for gardening, seed and all of that.
Yep. So garden season's coming up. We have a lot of our seed packets in. All the little glossy ones are in now. All the bulk stuff is in. The only thing we're waiting on is onion sets, onion plants, and potatoes. Those are usually, let's call it mid-April.
Okay.
But if you want to give us a call or stop in, it might be in a little before that. But let's call it mid-April.
So the majority of stuff is in, though, pretty much everything else, which a lot of people, I'm going to imagine, are excited about right now, this time of year, getting building and getting ready for that.
It's always amazing. There's people that come in. I mean, this year, I guess, makes sense because it was like planting weather about a month ago.
Yeah.
And so we had people coming in saying, oh, when can I start my do you have seeds in yet? I want to start my garden. And, you know, a lot of these people are starting in their window, you know, inside their house. So, you know, but some people I was like, are you sure you want those yet?
Now, I don't know if you can get into the ground yet. Yeah. We're speaking with Stephen Hittner from Family Natural Foods and talking a little bit about some of the things going on over there and some of the great products they have. And Stephen, one of my favorite things you guys have over there is an integral part to, I think, a lot of families out there, but just speaking from my background, in an Italian household, you have to have milk, bread, and olive oil. Like, you have to have these things.
Yep.
They are mainstays. They are that important. And I'm not even exaggerating that much. It's that important. My Nana talked about how they didn't have much growing up, but the olive oil they had was like Cadillac of olive oils. They always had good stuff.
Yeah.
And you guys have some really good stuff over there of olive oil.
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. And that's what I wanted to bring in. Olive oil is such an amazing thing, and I think since we're not all blessed to be from Italian families like James, with, you know, Italian grandmas who could set us straight on the right quality olive oil.
Yeah.
Some of us had to kind of like learn this from scratch. My German ancestry didn't help me with this, but I have learned a lot about olive oils, and we sell a few really great ones. And I wanted just to kind of talk through what to look for in olive oil and then to do a little tasting with you here today, James. And these are things people can take home with them and work on. So we've got a Spanish olive oil, which is a wonderful olive oil. You can taste that at our store. We have samples you can try of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a Moroccan olive oil.
Mm.
And we now just brought in this new Italian olive oil. So that's what we'll try today. And I really like these single origin olive oils where they're coming from one country.
Yes.
I get a little more suspicious as they add number of countries.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen one olive oil that came from three continents.
Mm.
So we had Europe. They had some part of the oil was coming from North Africa. So that's another continent.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was also coming from Argentina.
Huh.
So that's three continents.
Interesting.
not just three countries. And then you got to wonder, like, well, did they keep it all together? You know, was there any adulteration somewhere between? And it's certainly been in the news that olive oil is a product on American shelves that is often adulterated. Mm-hmm. And what that means is sometimes they'll sell something like canola oil or soybean oil, some cheap oil, right?
Yes.
They'll add a little food coloring, maybe a little flavoring, mm-hmm. make it seem like it's olive oil, but it's not.
No.
And there's a distinctive thing to look for olive oil. So like I said, try to find ones that come from a single source. Mm-hmm. This new Italian one we have is a great example of one you'd want to look for quality and you know, authenticity, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
This one is actually recommended to us by Terry Lemeron.
Mm.
Terry himself. He we'll have to talk more about his endeavors with olive oil, but he wrote a book on it.
Mm.
And I think that's quite a testament because he doesn't even sell olive oil.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But he wrote a book on it, right?
Wow. Yeah.
You know, really like how many things do you write books on, you know? And so he's so passionate about olive oil. And he mentioned this olive oil specifically in his book as one that, you know, he would classify as very high quality.
Mm.
On the front, there's a QR code, which you can use your phone's camera to scan, and it'll tell you basically tree to bottle where this olive oil came
from. That's incredible.
Yeah. So, you know, you're very much tracing it. It's in glass.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is sometimes, if not oftentimes, a really good sign of a good olive oil.
I think so. Or certainly, you know, like a good quality one. I'm not crazy about plastic. Mm-hmm. It's got its place. But glass and a lot of times in tins, you'll find olive oil. I think that's fine, too. But glass is probably the best. Mm-hmm. This one is organic. Again, it's coming only from Italy. And it's... Well, I think the next thing we need to do is taste test it.
So oh, yeah.
I'm going to hand this over to you, and you can pour it on your spoon yourself.
Sure.
There's a lot of expensive equipment here. but I'll describe, before you taste test it, I'll kind of describe the process of taste testing olive oil. Mm-hmm. Much like wines, there's a, sort of a special way to taste test olive oils. Mm-hmm. And it's so you can get all the flavor in your mouth.
Okay.
So what you do is you put in your mouth... and then you swish it around.
Mm.
That's kind of like wine so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of open your teeth like this, James. Mm. And then, yeah, like you're kind of smiling with open teeth.
Mm.
And then you draw air in.
Ooh.
And that kind of opens up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it does.
Yeah. And then you'll want to kind of tell me what you're tasting, because it evolves as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can. Oh God, I feel like I can taste Italy. the spice and the herb of it. I can taste the aftertaste. I got the herb taste of that.
It kind of hits the back of your throat almost.
Yeah, it's dancing on my tongue right now.
Yeah,
wow, that is really. I've had some great olive oils. This is a really good one.
Yeah.
Bellucci. That's a good olive oil.
Yeah. So, you know, just a really fun thing. We did a staff kind of olive oil sampling at our store a couple of weeks ago at a meeting. And one of the staff, Judith, who's worked with us, I don't know, forever, 20 years, she tried one of these. I think it was this one, in fact. And she started coughing.
Mm.
And I said, oh, great, Judith, that's what you're supposed to do when it's a really good olive oil.
Yeah.
It catches you in the back of the throat.
It's true, yeah.
Especially if you take a big sip of it. And you'll actually just like have this kind of impulse to cough because it has that kind of pepperiness in the back of the throat. And that's just a sign of a really good olive oil. And what that also is a sign of, which is what Terry will write about in his book, which we have copies of if anyone's interested mm-hmm. in this book. And Terry recommends taking a couple of tablespoons each day. I think he's up to a fourth of a cup. I'll have to ask him. But he takes, you know, he's serious about olive oil. And what that spiciness is polyphenols.
Mm.
So actually these more flavorful, more kind of spicy olive oils have higher antioxidants. They have higher polyphenols, the better for your health, long story short.
Yeah.
So the ones Terry is looking for are the ones that just really get you in the back of the throat and stuff. And, you know, that's the best stuff.
I was actually holding back a bit of a cough, a little bit of one. And I just thought it was my throat was dry. Yep. but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I never heard that before, though. Yeah. That's really something. Man, my Nana would have loved you, man.
We'd be buddies.
Some really good notes. Some really good notes on that.
I would have just, like, going to her kitchen and drinking her olive oil.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
She would have been like, who is this guy? Get him out of here. He's drinking all my olive oil.
She'd have loved you. I guarantee it. Yeah. In the name of this is, again, Bellucci Olive Oil. Yep. Find out about that and other great ones over at our friends at Family Natural Foods. Steven, we got about five or so minutes left. I did want to take some time to talk a little bit about allergies. And I know that it feels like we talk about it a lot, but it's becoming more and more of a thing for people where it's a year-round thing.
Yeah, well, and with the weather being funky, you don't really know when, you know, like maybe you have spring allergies. Well, maybe your spring allergies started a month ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll start next week. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we always like to remind people natural things for allergies work best if you start them ahead of time. Mm. You can always kind of load them up. You can take a heavier dosage. And a lot of our products will have, you know, descriptions on how to take a higher dosage if you're having a, you know, an allergy reaction at the time. It's basically your immune system overreacting to something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other things, there's a lot of things you can do. I love quercetin. I also love reishi mushrooms, and I kind of previewed this, and we're going to get into it. If anyone comes to that talk on May 7th at 5:15 with True Grace, they're going to talk about mushrooms, and reishi mushrooms is probably my favorite. Anyone who's kind of researched mushrooms, this one kind of does it all.
Yeah.
It's an adaptogen, so it helps your body adapt. It's great for, it's an anti-inflammatory, it's an antiviral, it's an immune amphoteric. That means it kind of balances the immune system, protects the kidneys. It's good for the nervous system, so it's good for stress, cardiovascular health. Really great. I found some statistic on here. In a study in patients with angina, 84% had reduced pain when taking reishi mushrooms. 60% of people with arrhythmias noted improvement.
Wow.
So that's really cardiovascular. I'm kind of going all over the place, and that's what I always do when I talk about this mushroom because it has so many benefits.
It's hard not to. There's so many different things it does. Yeah, you want to highlight as much as you can about it.
But since I know it has all these benefits, I love taking it in the springtime before allergy season because I think it's this kind of, it's going to help me with my immune system and balancing my immune system for any kind of allergies. But next, it's just like it's going to have all these other benefits that really who's going to turn any of those things down?
I mean, there's no side. Yeah, there's no downside to having those benefits. In you. Yeah. Side benefits. Though, like there's that. A term we need to bring around. That's a good one.
Kind of with allergy respiratory stuff. The last little thing I wanted to bring up is I've had a lot of people come in with kind of lingering coughs that are hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
We have these great cough formulas. There's four or maybe there's five different ones. And there's a book called Herbal Therapeutics that we have. You can look through this book and just read a couple pages. It'll tell you kind of which formula to use for what kind of cough. And when you can't get rid of a cough, you have to get specific. That's where I love these individual remedies. So again, if you got a lingering cough, stop in, ask for the book. We'll find you the exact formula for your cough.
There's a lot of different things that you can do and find at Family Natural Foods that are good for you. Whatever aches and pains you have or whatever concerns you might have.
Sure.
If you've got questions, they want them over there. And if they can't answer them, they'll hunt it down with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Steven, one more time, if we can just tell people the dates of those events and let them know those coming up.
I appreciate that. So April 11th, 1 p.m., Katrina and I will be speaking about like amazing herbs coming out of India. Some you've probably heard of, some you probably never have. And then May 7th at 5:15 p.m., it's going to be True Grace talking about innovations in... grab that piece
of paper. Yeah,
innovations in natural medicine and this great Wisconsin company. They'll talk about mushrooms too.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in any of those things, it's going to be applicable to everybody. So please come. I'm sure there'll be free samples and giveaways at all these events. And then I'm just putting out the date, May 29th, 5:15. put it on your calendar. We'll tell you more later. It's a surprise.
Really looking forward to that and looking forward to hanging out with you guys again real soon. Yeah. Tell the staff over there hello for us and everything. And good to hang out with you, brother. Good to hang out with you.
Thank you, James. Yeah.
Good to see you. Thanks for the time. Visit our friends at Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to bookmark their webpage, familynaturalfood.com, and follow them on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date and all the good things that they're doing over at Family Natural Foods. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the Midday Magazine here at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey everybody, Todd Lobo, Friday noon to 2, talking to Brady Ewing and the Week in Review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time to ride into spring by listening to this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000.
97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. March is a big month for college basketball and for gambling addiction problems. Rose Blazinski heads the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling. She says it's especially risky for young adults.
They're at a time in their life where they're high risk takers to start, and gambling fits right in with that, especially the sports betting. It makes them feel important. If you're winning, you can brag to all your friends.
March is Problem Gambling Awareness Month. Don't cry over spilled milk, but what about bagged milk? Quick Trip convenience stores are closing the lid on bagged milk in May after more than 40 years. The company says people aren't buying as much bagged milk as they used to. Quick Trip says customers who had special promotional coupons for bagged milk are being offered other milk products. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a new exhibit opening in Port Edwards next week. The Alexander House Center for Art and History is having an open reception on Friday, April 5th from 5 to 8 p.m. The exhibition will feature Body and Boldly Beyond, paintings, ceramic sculptures, and mixed media work by Bonnie Dine and Laura Newman. Both artists are Wisconsin Rapids residents. Bonnie creates emotive compositions with a vibrant color palette using oil paint. Laura is a multimedia artist creating expressive artwork using materials such as clay, steel, bronze, glass, and found objects. The exhibit will continue through May 7th. Need a new mattress? The Lincoln High School Music Department is holding their third annual mattress fundraiser next weekend. Mark your calendars for Saturday, April 6th. The sale will be at the LHS cafeteria from 10 to 4:30. Every purchase benefits the LHS Music Department. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripescast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dudead.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Bucks lose Pat Beverley. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It happened Sunday night. Bucks guard Pat Beverley says his right wrist kept bothering him during warm-ups. He still played in the game against the Thunder, then had x-rays the next day.
Talked to the doctor, and they informed me that I tore a ligament in my right wrist, and gonna need it surgically repaired, which takes 3 to 4 months.
Beverley likely done for the season. The Bucks face the Pelicans tonight in New Orleans. College basketball tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers women's team faces the Illinois State Redbirds in the NIT. Baseball, the Brewers and Mets game canceled due to poor weather in New York. The two teams will try again tomorrow. Bob Uecker says he'll be back in the broadcast booth for opening day next week at American Family Field. Then it's day-to-day after that. Uecker is 90 years old and has been calling Brewers games since 1971.
Just a bit outside.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. The rest of today, mostly sunny, temperatures in the mid-30s, a little breezy out of the west. Tonight, mostly clear, 19, mostly sunny and a bit warmer on Friday with a high near 50. Some rain or maybe freezing rain Friday night as we drop to 30 degrees. Snow showers Saturday, 45.
Right now, 40 degrees.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Midday Magazine for this March 28th, 2024. You have your host, James J. Mailoff here, and we're welcoming into the studio our good friend, Anna Mitchell. Anna, good to have you with us.
Good to have you, too. Good to be here, James.
Did it sound a little weird hearing your name like that?
I mean, it threw me off a little.
We should let the audience know that that name sounds a little familiar. It's because Anna has been with us many times as Anna James.
Yep.
But congratulations, mazel tov to you.
Thank
and yours.
You.
Very happy for you. And
thank you.
Very happy to have you in studio, Anna. One of the things we love about joining us is not only do we learn, but we get a chance to really dive into topics we don't always get a chance to. And today we're going to be getting into invasive species.
Mm-hmm.
So what is an invasive species, just to begin with?
Yeah, so Wisconsin DNR defines invasive species as non-indigenous species whose introduction causes or is likely to cause economic or environmental harm or harm to human health. Mm. But basically, an invasive species is any species that's brought to an area that it doesn't originally come from, so where it's non-native to.
Now, I don't know nearly what you do, but knowing a little bit about nature and learning more and more all the time, especially from people like yourself, these things can happen in nature quite often, but it's a difference of it happening and then it happening and causing problems.
Yes. Yeah. So invasive species, I mean, in their native environment, invasive species have natural predators and competitors that keep their populations in check. It's like a systems of checks and balances, right? But when you take a species out of their native habitat and put them into a different habitat where they have no natural predators mm-hmm. or competitors, they just thrive. Like yeah. they just multiply really, really rapidly, and it becomes an issue for the species that are native to those areas. They mm-hmm. they just, the invasives can tend to just take over and really, really rapidly. Just, there's nothing keeping their populations in check. Yeah. So
Which is such an integral part of nature.
Yeah.
To keep things in check.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting thing. But when you take a step back and look at nature, so much of it is balanced on that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Hmm. It's just checks and balances the whole system. Yeah. Yep.
Now, it can impact economic value
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. Which is pretty wild. We'll talk about that kind of some specifics, especially to Wisconsin, in a little bit. But invasive species not only alter the ecological relationships and disturb the natural ecosystems, but in fact, 42% of species that are on the threatened or endangered species list, they are there because of some threat that an invasive species has caused, which, I mean, that's almost half of the species on your threatened or endangered species list.
Anna, this is why I love talking with you, but yeah. this is why it's so vital we talk right. to you. I cannot be the only one that's learning that.
Right.
Just for the audience, look behind the curtain a little bit. Anna sends these notes to yeah. us, and I have a chance to kind of go over them so I know a little bit of what we're talking about, and I can help with the conversation.
Yeah.
I read that five times when I saw that. I couldn't get over that.
Yeah.
I know that many, many, if not almost everybody out there cares about endangered animals and right. doesn't want to see any of these animals on our watch go out.
Right.
Right. When you hear a stat like that, it brings everything really full circle.
Yeah.
It really does. And it just really, that took me like 42%. That's amazing.
Right. And it's a good stat to know, because a majority of invasive species become invasive because of human interaction mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, us humans have created just conditions where plants and animals can aggressively invade and dominate natural areas and water bodies too. And there's three major ways that invasive species can be introduced. So the first way is just introducing exotic species from other regions. Mm-hmm. So for example, we have a lot of ornamental gardens and those plants are generally not from our region.
Yeah.
I mean, they're flashy, they're showy, and so we tend to gravitate towards those for like our lawns mm-hmm. and our flower beds. But when we introduce those species to an ecosystem that they're not mm-hmm. native to, that they then become an invasive species, especially if they're not managed and looked after.
When I was spending time in California, one of the ways I learned about their ecosystem out there and a lot of their culture out there is from invasive species.
Yeah.
They'll have a seed from Europe float mm-hmm. over and land there. And,
yeah.
and this kind of thing happens it's happened for thousands of years.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's really crazy. And the same thing happens in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
the same
thing
happens all over. And then there's another way that us humans are really good at spreading invasive species is just disrupting the delicate balance of native ecosystems by changing the environmental conditions. So, for example, fire is really important to a lot of landscapes. We think about forests, mainly prairies. Well, we suppress fires as humans, right? A fire is bad in our eyes when we see it burn across a landscape, but there's benefits to fire. So before settlement for us, right?
Yeah.
Their fire burned across a landscape, and there's actually native plants that need fire in order to germinate. Mm. And so when we suppress that fire, we're not allowing specific plants to germinate, and then the fire isn't suppressing other plants either. So you see an overpopulation of maybe an invasive, or maybe even overpopulation of a native, which mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't technically be an invasive if it's taking over a prairie, but because it's so dominant, it's you know, hindering the germination of others.
That's got to be a tricky one to be able to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can't have out of control fires.
Correct.
But it's also so important for fires. So that's a tough one to balance just as a world, as a society.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the spreading of these, the activities of these invasive species continues too with recreational activities.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of what we love to do in Wisconsin is outdoors. I mean, that's what our state is sold on, right? Our outdoor recreational opportunities. Well, if we don't do those with care and with intention, we can be spreading invasive species. So just for example, if your boating is huge in Wisconsin, right? Mm-hmm. Any water activity, if you have a boat and you're moving it from water body to water body and you're not taking the vegetation off of the trailer when you're moving it, and that is a really good way of spreading invasives, or even draining out the water that's in your boat, taking the plug out before you leave.
Yeah.
And then when we mow along the roadsides, a lot of the times, if those mowers aren't cleaned off or just blown off, you're moving seedlings from one spot to another.
Man, wouldn't have thought about that one.
Yeah, yeah.
The boat thing, I remember doing that, especially as a kid. We'd hose down the boat before we moved it from Camelot or something like that.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about the mowing thing.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a different one. That's a difference maker.
It is. And well, there's some other scenarios we'll talk about. But if you like to camp and you see signs that say, please don't bring in firewood. Mm-hmm. I wonder, I know some people are like, that sounds really odd. Is that just a gimmick to make us buy their firewood?
Right.
No, it's not. It's actually a way to decrease the spread of invasive species.
Wow.
If you're bringing in firewood from home, say a different region of the state, that firewood could have invasive species and you could be introducing it to a somewhat delicate and well-managed system in a, say, a county park or a state park. So that's why they tell you to only use the firewood that they have or the firewood within a 10-mile radius of the campsite.
You know, it seems like so many of these things are fixable, are doable. Some of it is self-inflicted,
right?
But also stuff that isn't common knowledge. So I imagine that a lot of people are doing these things and not realizing it, and would like to fix them, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yep, you just don't know what you don't know.
Now, when it comes to dealing with these and why we should care about them, Mana, can we get into the details of why we should care about invasive species?
Yeah, so there's three large areas or three reasons really why we should care about invasive species. And the one that I think is going to hit home the most is just the economics behind it. So in the United States, expenses associated with invasive species damage and control were estimated at $137 billion in 2001. That's 2001.
Whoa.
It's just since increased. I mean, $137 billion because of invasive species.
With, inflation is a factor every year in history. So there's that to consider. And then the 2001 aspect of that. I wasn't sure if it was a typo or not.
No.
That really speaks to a lot.
Yeah.
That number has only gotten bigger over the last decades.
Yeah, yeah. And then if we bring it to a Wisconsin perspective, we have industries like commercial fishing, forestry, agriculture, industrial water users, our industrial water treatment plants, you know, municipal water users. Those are also negatively impacted by invasive species. And just one to bring into perspective, our commercial sport and commercial fishing industries are huge in Wisconsin. In the Great Lakes, they're valued at $4.5 billion and support over 81,000 jobs in Wisconsin. And these industries, we see them at risk due to increasing numbers of invasive species that are present in our water. So a great example of an invasive species in our waters, especially our Great Lakes, are round gobies. These round gobies, they eat the eggs of sport fish like smallmouth bass or trout and even sturgeon. So because they have no natural predator, right, they can go through and just make food out of anything they find. So Yep.
They're dealing with this a lot in Florida right now, especially in the southern tip of the state and everything, with sharks or animals that they've never seen come close to land before are now starting to.
Right.
And that's not necessarily an invasive species thing, but it's becoming an invasive species thing because of these animals traveling from different spots. There's a lot of different places around the country, around the world, that are dealing with some things like this.
Well, the Florida Everglades, just thinking about Florida, they have huge invasive species issues with pythons. I mean, it's become a whole...
I forgot about this. You're right.
Pythons and some iguanas just from, I can't remember which hurricane it was. I can't remember which hurricane it was, but it wiped out a reptile, I don't know, breeding facility. And so all of these pythons got introduced to the Everglades. People are actually making careers out of taking people out to hunt these invasives. It's actually really cool. It's cool. So
it's interesting. And it's one of those things that I bring up in part just to, you know, it's not just a Wisconsin thing. Other states are certainly dealing with things like this. It also lets you know that you're not alone and that these things can be fixable.
Yeah.
Again, for lack of a better word, I feel weird saying when it comes to nature, saying fixing.
Right.
Nature's doing its thing. I don't want to, but it is sort of, for lack of a better way to put it, kind of getting things back in balance.
If it was human caused, I think it can be human fixed.
Well said. Very well said. just another example of how this affects our state. In 2001, the electric company had Wisconsin Electric Company had some details on this.
Yeah, so in 2001, the Wisconsin Electric and Power Company reported that they spent $1.2 million per year trying to control zebra mussels, which are an aquatic invasive, on their Lake Michigan power plants because the small zebra mussels, they congregate and clog their intake and distribution pipes. So
that's insane.
And
not the kind of things that we, I think, would hear about or know about very often. It also speaks to these kind of stories being covered a little bit more, I think. I think that they should be brought up a lot more and covered a lot more.
Yep.
This affects our health as well.
Because
we talked about the economic impact, now the health impact it has on us.
Yep, so some invasive species can be cause for major health concerns in humans. So, for example, in Wisconsin, we have a plant called wild parsnip, and it's grown in... it grows a lot in disturbed areas like our ditches, along trails, and it's got this really big yellow umbel head on it. So it looks like an umbrella. That's why they call it an umbel. Well, actually, if you get the sap of this plant on you and on your skin, and it's exposed to the sunlight, it's photoreactive. So if it's exposed to the sunlight, you blister, and you blister bad. Like, there's been cases where people have been sent to the hospital because they blister so bad. So I mean, that's just another example in Wisconsin is we see the Lone Star tick more often, and that's generally found in our southern states.
Yeah.
But when we see it up here, if you get a tick bite from a Lone Star tick, sometimes you can get alpha-gal syndrome, which is a food allergy to red meat.
Oh,
it causes a food allergy to red meat. Yeah.
That ain't right. that ain't fair, ticks. Like, you've gone too far.
You're correct.
Ticks.
Yeah.
But that is really... I mean, for one, just to hear that an allergy like that exists is quite interesting, I think. But also that this is something in our state, again, not sure that it's common knowledge and not enough people know about that.
Right.
We know there's ticks out there, but different breeds, let alone that some of them were kind of introduced to our state. That's very interesting.
Right.
We're speaking with Anna Mitchell, UW-Madison Division of Extension's Natural Resource Educator. Anna, as we're touching on the ways that this invasive species affect us, the natural ecosystem is, of course, another big one.
So like we had said before, invasive species tend to disrupt our natural communities and the ecological processes within our natural communities. So we discussed how the round gobies disrupt the food web in some of the Great Lakes, and invasive species can also displace native species due to how they tend to just decrease diversity. So when we have not to mention the forestry industry is huge within Wisconsin. I think it was almost 100,000 jobs that were that were generated by the forestry industry. But we are seeing plants like honeysuckle and buckthorn, which are invasives take over in some of our forests. And those plants on the understory, so like the shorter part of the forest floor, they will just grow so thick, which makes it really hard for our native saplings and the young trees to grow and to flourish. So those I mean, even plants like that are disrupting the ecosystem or the web of our natural forests.
Which is very interesting.
Yeah.
So the net result of this.
Yeah, so the net result of invasive species is just a loss of diversity of our natural plants and animals because invasive species rapidly multiply and they dominate areas like our forests, grasslands, wetlands, and water bodies. So just a net result is a loss of our native species.
With a topic like this on, I think with a lot of topics nowadays, people hear all this information, they're good people, they're taking it in, and they care, but they have no idea what to do after that, because it's such a big topic.
It is,
it could be so hard to handle. I remember growing up, I hated cleaning my room. I'm a neat freak, but I hated cleaning my room. I didn't mind cleaning the rest of the house. And especially because I was a typical, you know, boy. I had a crazy room, messed up all over the place, you know, cereal bowls, that kind of thing. When it was time to clean, I would break it down. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get the dishes out first. Oh, I'm going to get the animals out of here first, because there's a lot of wild animals in there. No, I'm joking. But this is how we take on big issues. Yeah. We break them down a little bit.
Yeah.
So when it comes to what we can do, what can we do?
Yeah, well, we'll break it down. Yeah. We'll break it down into three parts. Yeah. First of all, just learn. Take the time to research what invasive species are in Wisconsin. Get to know how to identify them so that if they're on your property, you can properly manage them. The DNR website, Wisconsin DNR website, has really great resources for invasive species. Just a plug for UW Extension. We have really wonderful resources as well. You can actually look at all of our invasive species in Wisconsin, and there's a fact sheet on those species, on how to control them, how they're introduced, how to identify them, if there's any harm, like to our health from them. So there's some really great resources out there, and all you have to do is Google Wisconsin invasive species. And then the other one is just take action. If you're taking the time to learn, then be intentional about what you're learning and take action. So we talked about, if you are using a watercraft, make sure to pull the plug on it before you, right after you load the boat, pull the plug. I've got a boat. That's like the first thing that I make sure is done. We pull the plug and we make sure that all of our trailer is clean from any aquatic plants, because we don't know if they're invasive or not. And we don't want to spread them.
Right.
If you're camping, take care to buy firewood within 10-mile radius of your campsite. There's a if you're a landowner or a gardener, try to use native plants as much as possible. We have beautiful native plants. Yeah. Educate yourself on what the native plants are and the benefits that they have to our ecosystems and plant those. And then just be an advocate. Yeah. If you're learning about it and you're taking action, don't just keep that to yourself. Advocate for those to your neighbors, your friends, your family. Share what you learned. Share what you're doing. Just be passionate about it so that other people can become passionate or even curious about it.
Especially with the way that Anna has broke this down, this whole topic for us down, that when it comes to reaching out to people and being an advocate, you've got your notes. You've got your, okay, well, this person cares about the economy, so I can bring up this and how invasive species affect the economy. This person cares about our health, so talking about that part of it. You've given us all the tools to be able to be advocates and be able to really promote and talk about this more. And the more, again, it's one of those topics that can seem so big, and you can't fight nature, but we can work with nature. We can work with nature, and that's what we need to be doing, not fighting it, working with nature, because one, we'll never win if we did try to fight it. It just doesn't happen. But it also it makes for a better world, a more the symmetry, the way that we work together, nature, human beings. It only works if we all work together,
right?
And it's on us to be able to do this. Nature's doing their thing. It's doing its job. We got to do ours.
Are we going to be be part of the ecosystem? Are we going to be an integral part, a beneficial part, a positive part? What role are you going to play?
Mm-hmm. Well said, as always, Anna. And we always appreciate the time, always learn from you. Thank you so much for being in with us today. If people have follow-up questions and want to know some more about some of the things we've dove into, mm-hmm. how can they reach you?
You can stop in at the Wood County Extension office, or you can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
Again, congrats to you and yours.
Thank you so much.
Really happy for you.
Thanks,
and
James.
Really appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Looking forward to hanging out again real soon.
Yep, as am I. Have a good day.
You too. And we'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Matt Nair on air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll talk Sweet 16 tournament action with Dan Schumacher and cover Thursday's season opener for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS